United Nations Radio, in cooperation with the American Broadcasting Company, presents Danny Kaye in a first-hand account of his special mission to Southeast Asia on behalf of the world's children.
This is Danny Kaye. It's my privilege to give you a rather personal eyewitness account of my trip to Asia for UNICEF. There's been something that's happened on this trip that has given me a great deal to think about and a great deal to remember. This whole operation is, I think, one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. It's staggering, you know. It encompasses such scope. It's kind of breathtaking.
We now introduce Danny Kaye. Not, however, as a stage and screen star, but as a real-life reporter and officially appointed ambassador at large for UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund.
This is kind of a new role for me. However, one whose objective has held a great importance for me, kids. Well, that's what they affectionately call children in my particular country anyway, the United States. They call them kids. In India, for instance, they would say Bakcha, Burma, Kale. In Thailand, Dek Dek. Now, these countries I've just mentioned are the main places I went to because Southeast Asia is where the greatest child problem is. And because the need is worldwide, it's the business of the United Nations and its child care agency, UNICEF. Maybe I think we better start at the beginning, you know? This is exactly as it happened. So I arrived at the United Nations headquarters from California, and I walked through the revolving door of the Secretariat building. That's the tall one, you know, at the United Nations headquarters in back of the fountain. By the way, did you know that fountain was built with the pennies contributed by thousands of boys and girls? Did you know that? Oh, wait a minute, where was that? Oh, yeah, through the revolving door of the Secretariat building and across the marble corridor. Well, I walked to the elevators. ...24th floor. The offices of UNICEF are up there. And rather soon I was going to be leaving for a professional engagement in South Africa, but after that was finished, I was to continue on my own through a great part of Asia. Well, UNICEF invited me to visit its field installations in that part of the world and then to tell the story to you, a story of 50 million kids, Bakcha, Kale, Dek Dek. In a very few minutes, I was seated in a conference room with UNICEF officials. I'd heard something about the situation, but I could hardly believe my ears when UNICEF's chief, Mr. Maurice Pate, told me just how big the problem really was.
Well, Danny, several hundred million of the world's child population suffer from malnutrition and disease. Tuberculosis, which is usually acquired in childhood, kills 5 million people a year. Malaria, another 3 million. And the crippling, disfiguring tropical disease known as YAWS, YAWS, has 50 million victims, with all three taking their highest toll among children.
Well, there were many questions and many answers and an intensive briefing on UNICEF problems. But I knew these facts and figures could be translated for me into flesh and blood children when I had seen them for myself, right in their own backyard, so to speak. And this is exactly what I planned to do. But first, I was looking forward to a rather special occasion.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary General.
We are speaking to you from the Trusteeship Council Chamber at UN headquarters. Present are the Secretary General of the United Nations, Mr. Doug Hammarskjöld, the Executive Director of the UN Children's Fund, Mr. Maurice Pate, Mr. Danny Kaye, and the cameraman who will film the start of a motion picture record of Mr. Kaye's UNICEF mission. Here is Mr. Pate.
On the eve of your departure, with the authorization of the Secretary General, I am presenting you this scroll, which makes you an ambassador at large for UNICEF. And we hope you will come back with a good realization of our work and able to tell the story of what you have seen to the world.
Well, thank you very much.
Mr. Kay's acceptance.
I'm highly honored, and I couldn't be more delighted or pleased that I've been asked to do this. All I can tell you is that on this trip, we'll try to get as good a record of what UNICEF is doing as we possibly can. We'll try to make a record in film and try to come back and see that peoples of the world will have a fuller and greater realization of what UNICEF is doing. I'm very, very happy to be able to do this.
The United Nations Secretary General, Mr. Hammarskjöld.
And I wish you, Mr. Kay, a very happy journey.
Thank you.
And all good luck. I thank you again for a very generous contribution to our work. I rather envy you the opportunity to see all these kids whom you will be helping and helping in such a fine way. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Kay. I was scheduled to catch a plane to London, but there was one more important matter to be taken care of before we left. There were some inoculations in the UN clinic. But the prospect of being jabbed with some needles, I thought it would help my morale if I could banter a bit with the medical director and the UN reporter and a very charming French nurse, by the way. They were extremely understanding. They always are understanding when they're about to jab you with a needle. The doctor is now stepping over to the test tube. He's about to get the vaccine. Here he comes now. He's approaching me. There is a mad gleam in his eye. I am now rolling up my sleeve. He is now preparing my arm. He is dabbing it with alcohol. And here it comes. Yes. It's all over. Goodbye.
Well, how was it, Danny?
Oh, I better lay down someplace. Do I need a transfusion or anything right now? Huh? I'm fine. Well, Jeff,
take care of that.
What? A little drink. Well, that's fine. I'll have a little drink of water, and then we'll be okay. Well, Jeff, that's about it, I think. We're on our way now over to Idlewild and catch the plane. And the next time I see you, we'll probably be on my way back. Well, here I was on my way practically to London, and the first leg of a trip that I don't think I'll ever really forget. Some of the things that went through my mind might make you smile. For instance, I remember that one of the reporters had mentioned that since I was an ambassador at large now, you see, I should be expect to be addressed as Your Excellency. Well, that would be a new experience for me. I thought this really ought to be reversed, really. I pictured myself bowing low to all the world's children and addressing them as Your Excellencies. Because when you get down to it, strangely enough, I think the children of the world are the hope of the world in the future. And if the children of today aren't allowed to grow up to be decent, healthy human beings, I don't think we'll have any world. Well, after that kind of pleasant trip, we arrived in London and we had a press conference with the correspondents of Fleet Street.
What language are you going to use, Mr. Kay?
What we will try to do is to get as much film as we possibly can, take it back to California, then edit it, and then I will narrate it in English. After I narrate it in English, well, I'll probably work with the United Nations Language Department and see if we can't possibly narrate it in five or six different languages.
One thing I want to chip in here, are there going to be any women where you're going who will help you choose your subjects at all? Or will it be all men?
I'm sure there'll be women engaged in this work wherever we go, you know. It would be very hard to think of children without women somewhere around.
Well, they'll be looking out for them anyhow. You must have seen many children.
I think faces of children are the same the world over. That children may grow up with different customs, perhaps, or different ideas about life. But basically, when you take the veneer away from all the peoples in the world, they are basically the same emotionally underneath, all of them.
I can see you'll get back to the States with a whole string behind you.
Most of the newspaper people actually were deeply interested in what this job was and what UNICEF was, and the fact that some of the children had slanted eyes or brown skin or white skin or blue skin. It really didn't matter because I think children are extremely touching when they're ill in any part of the world. And then I actually started on the UNICEF trip when we left South Africa and I arrived in India. And I think that was one of the most fascinating facets of this whole trip, in the sense that I was dealing with a great many children who couldn't speak their language, or rather, I couldn't speak their language. And it struck me that the language of children is universal all over the world. A grotesque gesture or a funny face or simply the fact that you make a fool of yourself and clown for the amusement of children tends to break down any kind of reserve on their part. This was one of the really great experiences of this whole trip, the fact that I was able to communicate with children without even being able to talk to them.
We are in India, at a village called Beedvasan, a few miles outside of Delhi. It is hot, 109 in the shade. For the past 9 hours, a BCG team has been in action. As you know, this is a campaign against tuberculosis being fought by UNICEF, the World Health Organization, and the governments of Southeast Asia. But there is something different about the scene before me. Movie cameras have been photographing the entire action.
Oh, hold up, don't move, don't you dare.
In the sun, that's right. That's good.
In the sun.
Oh, I'll give your instructions to him and he'll interpret.
That's right, sit down.
Hi.
Yeah, that's good.
You disappear. Tell them not to look at me. Camera over here.
Eric, go over here.
What's happening here is unique in history, as the doctors can tell you.
A large number of children in this part of the world die in their very first year. At least half of them die in the first 5 years. In the East, where overcrowding and malnourishment are almost static, we have got to rely on these emergency medical methods. We are, of course, as you probably all know, doing a good deal of BCG vaccination in the hope that temporary immunity will be given to the young people until they can get artificial immunity. But the basic problems are malnourishment and overcrowding, and they'll have to be tackled sooner or later, but that time is a long way off.
To get the local people to cooperate, the doctors also have to tell them why it's necessary to inject that strange-looking needle into the arms of their children.
ये मोटरें और ये डॉक्टर जो इतने लाओ हो तुम, तो इसकी जगह तुम हमें अन्न क्यों ना लाके देते इतना, हैं?
Danny Kaye does some explaining also to his cameraman how he wants to film the next scene of the village children getting their BCG.
Oh, no. That was where we had the woman comes to the village and she explains to the people that there's a team of UNICEF people coming in to inject people to bring their children to the village square. So actually what has to be done is we first have to get permission from the elders of the village. Then the woman goes out and addresses the women of the village, explains to them what has to be done, what this project is, and to bring their children and so forth to the village square. And then that's where we shoot vaccinating the kids.
Testing 1 million children a month in one country alone is quite a challenge. At times a frustrating one. To have to explain to the villagers what, why, where, when all you want is to save lives. When the mission succeeds, as one of our team members put it, we don't know who is the happier, the patient or the doctor.
Recently I was in Saurashtra, one of the Indian states, in a very remote rural village. In the morning the team went there, and there was absolutely no response from the public. They actually threw stones at the cars, and the teams had to go away again. Now, the doctor came to me and reported and said, we can't do anything about it. I said, shouldn't we try another time? No, he said, they're absolutely stopped and we can't do. Well, I said, let's go with the film there. So we did that. There was nobody at 8 o'clock. Gradually, the men came lurking around the corners. They sat down in the village square, very morose. They didn't say anything. We started showing a film. They started smiling. And all of a sudden, I saw around behind the doors that women folk were peeping out too. Now, the village headman had told me, we never allow women folk to come to the village square. But all of a sudden,
they gradually came, you know, and in spite of the opposition from the menfolk, they simply came and sat down in front of the screen. When we had showed about 2-3 films, I can tell you that these people, they laughed, heartily laughed, and the village headman came spontaneously and said, this is the first time in the history of this village that women and men have been together in the village square and laughing heartily, as if they had no worries whatsoever. And when we drove away, they were shouting. The village headman came again with tears. This never happened before in the history of this village.
After we finished that, which we shot in New Delhi and then in Agra, we went to Burma, in Rangoon, where we did the malaria program and the child and maternal welfare. Well, in Burma, to begin with, the malaria program is just phenomenal. All the rice paddies where people were being laid low like flies, you know. They were clearing up all the malarial patches. Well, you see, what happens, too, is that there's a lot of fertile ground, you know, that can't be cultivated because people can't live there on account of being ill. Now, the minute they do away with the malaria in most of these places, they'll have that much more land to be able to cultivate to provide food for themselves.
This is a new kind of war, a war against disease, poverty, ignorance, and this is a new kind of gun, one that sprays, not bullets, but DDT, to kill the mosquitoes that carry malaria, the disease that every year lays low 300 million people. And as a new kind of war correspondent comes Danny Kaye, recording on film this battle against the killers that take so many young lives that we are trying to save, as in this child and maternal welfare center in Rangoon.
Of children. Look at that one. It looks just like a skeleton.
Doctor, what happens in this part of the clinic?
A woman gets pregnant and she comes to this center. The first place she comes to is this place. They examine her, then she comes along here. And while she's waiting, the public health nurse gives her a lecture on how to feed herself during her pregnancy.
I think we ought to take her little hat off. Oh,
yeah? Yeah? Strip the baby.
Maybe a little bit impolite to strip the baby in front of everybody, you know. That is the cutest baby I have ever seen in my life.
I think Danny Kaye is doing more good to more people, as he is now, than he would if he had taken up only doctoring. His work gives more people more pleasure.
Hey boy, hey, that boy, we can't do that. Bring us one, one, one. Hey boy, hey, boy, hey, boy, hey, boy, hey, boy, hey, boy, hey, boy, hey,
boy. If I had 10 million rupees to get cracking on, I would get every child fed the proper way. Give them all they need in the way of milk and vitamins. Okay. See that they were clothed the proper way and that they were housed the proper way.
Burma, we went to Thailand where we did the YAWS program. They've been having spectacular success with that. Well, that's in the film. We had a rather dramatic thing happen. We had one of our boys go ahead and photograph a couple of kids that had YAWS. They had the open lesions. It's a crippling and maiming disease. And a great deal of the population suffers from it. Anyway, on this particular film, you see this little boy with these great big open sores that kind of make you a little bit ill when you first look at it. They gave him a couple of shots of penicillin. And 2 weeks later, when we got there to photograph the before and after section, we got there a couple of weeks later, and the boy was completely cured. Completely. With 2 shots of penicillin.
His name sounds like a bell ringing, Bong Ting. He is 7 years old, and as we see him now in this Thailand village, 60 kilometers from Bangkok, it is hard to believe that only a short time ago he was a very sad-looking victim of yours. No one would touch him except the doctor.
Well, yours in this area, most of the cases are in Indonesia, probably 80% of them, and most of the remainder are in Thailand, where we're talking now. In Indonesia alone, they're examining about 30,000 cases a day, and it needs to be remembered that this work is being done almost entirely by Indonesians and almost entirely by technicians, with only a very few doctors supervising the job. This has to be done because there's only one doctor to about 100,000 people, and most of them are in the cities, and the yaws are in the country.
The jeeps carry UN medical teams everywhere, but sometimes they get stuck on bad roads, like what happened to Danny Kay. Only in this case, Mr. Danny made a movie of it.
Uh-huh. Go, watch this chain. Shoot this, Eric. Get this. Sam, wait a minute. Oh. Sam, come on this side.
You hold your hands.
Yeah.
You got enough film?
Oh, you have stacks of
film. Go on.
A little faster. Come on, run. Fast. Come on.
Yato.
Danny Kay's manager, Mr. Ed Dukoff, is a very busy man on the trip, but never too busy to appreciate an interesting sideline while they make movies of UNICEF in action.
I have a lovely shot of this man with his face framed against the mosque. These types are just unbelievable. They have a strange mixture of problems. They're very shy, and then secondly, once they move where you direct them to, they turn around and look en masse right into the camera. So I can see where Danny and the two cameramen are facing a real one today.
We have to do it as we see it. You know, we can't stage it in much the same sense as you would stage a scene in a film. So we actually have to shoot what we see. Once we get these establishing shots down, Randy, I think what will happen is that we'll be able to go on in and get the expressions in the close-ups, you see, and get the actual, you know, kind of things that'll say more with one head close-up than you can by shooting a lot of film, you know.
Danny Kay's visit here gave one of the doctors a wonderful idea. He says that to speed their progress and to secure the happy cooperation of the villagers, all UN medical teams should have among the staff a resident comedian.
We went from Thailand to Hong Kong, where I did the UNICEF equipment in hospitals. From Hong Kong, we went to Tokyo. We did film on some kids who were brought up in orphanages that were run by UNICEF or under the supervision of UNICEF. From Tokyo, we went to Korea. In Korea, we did some emergency milk feeding. And it was quite a contrast. We were there a couple of years ago during the war. And I had taken some of my own film of these little children running around, half starved to death and completely homeless. And to see these kids who have been under the care of UNICEF for the last 3 or 4 years is a remarkable change indeed. They look healthy, they look vital, they look vibrant, they look like they will grow up to be adults. And most of the children you do see in these countries don't even look like they'll ever survive the next 6 months. So I started in New York and made the complete circle around the world and came home by way of Honolulu. Well, of necessity, what I've mentioned here is actually just a small fraction of what UNICEF is doing for the children all over the world. It has been my personal good fortune to see firsthand part of the UNICEF true story that includes over 90 million children tested and 36 million inoculated against tuberculosis. Over 2.5 billion cupfuls of milk for children and mothers. Over 14 million mothers and children protected against malaria, to mention just a few items. The whole thing was very dramatic. The trip from its inception and from the minute I set foot on Asiatic soil, the whole idea of the trip, the whole idea of this organization is very dramatic. It was very touching as far as I was concerned. I'm delighted I did it. To get this message of UNICEF to the people of the world. I think it's a very, very important one. And now, to friends of children, wherever you may be, thanks so much for receiving my report. Respectfully submitted, Danny Kaye.
This has been a first-hand account of the worldwide field operations of UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, as seen by UNICEF's Ambassador at Large, Danny Kaye. UNICEF wishes to express appreciation to Mr. Kaye and to Paramount Pictures for producing and distributing the special UNICEF film, Assignment Children. Thanks also go to the entire motion picture industry, and all those throughout the world who lent their assistance on behalf of the world's children. Actuality radio recordings heard during the program were made on the journey by Renee Cutforth of the BBC. This broadcast was presented by the American Broadcasting Company and was produced by Jeff Sparks of United Nations Radio.